I am the first transgender athlete to compete for a Division I men's team in college. And the key word, sports are cool, but the key word is transgender. I am a transgender man, which means that although I am a man, I was assigned female at birth, which means that I have a uterus, which means that I could get pregnant, which means that I could need an abortion.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I am here to remind you to make it absolutely clear that people of all genders can have abortions. And people of all genders should have safe and legal access to abortions. This is a women's issue, and it is also a transgender man's issue. It is also a non-binary person's issue. It is also a genderqueer, gender fluid, transmasculine person's issue. This is about all of us.
Andrew Breitbart's quote, politics is upstream from culture. That was a culture from last week. I played you from the Women's March. That was a born as a woman, totally looked like a man, beard and all, speaking there at the Women's March. And our culture today, man, it has really gone to some level that I'm just shocked by. I saw my first Taco Bell Satanist supporting commercial as I was watching college football this weekend. Boy, that Arkansas-Ole Miss game came down to the very end. I mean, no time left. Do you kick an extra point to tie it, go into extra time, overtime, or do you go for 2 points? Arkansas went for 2 points and lost it. But anyhow, I was watching that game. A great college game that I chose to watch, picked, and it ended up being a great one. But I saw a Taco Bell commercial of the Satanist supporting Lil Nas X. Remember his satanic shoes? And let it sink in that a major United States fast food company that targets young people, let's be real, fast food targets a lot more young, feel very comfortable hiring a gay Satanist, 666, bloody shoe, twerking with the devil spokesman. No backlash. Nothing to see here. It's America 2021. You know, you got the Saturday Night Live parody of him lap dancing on God, right? Nothing to see here. No backlash. We have a real debased and woke country that's going to hell in a handbasket. So we've seen Lil Nas X getting away with a disgusting pornographic take on Christian imagery. They don't care. Let's see. Here's Taco Bell's gone all in here. Let's see. Here's some lyrics from Lil Nas X. Cocaine and drinking with your friends. You live in the dark, boy. I cannot pretend. I'm not phased, only here to sin. If Eve ain't in your garden, you know that you can. And that's the milder stuff. I mean, this, I can't say that or that or that or that. Guess who's promoting him for this filth? It's Taco Bell. They went for it. Totally went for it. And what's amazing is maybe they were hoping they would go for it and there'd be backlash and then there'd be even more, right? Generate more controversy. But I guess there's no backlash. And it's all fine. Fine with the media, right? I guess they can celebrate this type of, you know, we used to call this filth, right? Can you even call anything filth anymore? Can you even call anything sin anymore? Oh, no. If you think any of this is offensive, much less disgusting, then what a conservative, God-fearing gas bag you probably are, right? Oh, yeah. Don't stand up against anything, especially if you happen to be also in the genre of being a famous person and you stand up against anything, boy, they'll really shut you out, right? Thank Rollins, isn't that her name? The Harry Potter book. You know, she stood up against saying a man can become a woman, a woman a man. She stood up for women, basically. And, yeah, she gets ostracized. We've seen this. But we know right now, and don't you feel this, that that our culture today, that it's probably beyond the average American, you and I, to influence this. It's been so infiltrated. I don't know, because so many people are afraid to speak up about this. And Victor Davis Hanson, he said, a nation's institutions are its bedrock. Well, we know already now that the left and these cultural Marxists, they want to change our institutions. They want to change our schools. And if you stand up against it, they'll seek the FBI on you. They've already changed the history books. They've changed genders. They're even now talking about it's time for a new United States flag. I kid you not. This is the New York Times. I'm looking right here at some designs that the New York Times wants to redesign Old Glory. The red, white, and blue, not enough. They got six redesigns. They're actually talking about this. I don't even know what this first one is. It's a looks like a quilt with each little section, something different. Yuck. Next up, this is, it's not out of focus. It's actually a smudged American flag because they said we're out of focus. Here's another one. Blue, green, yellow, three corners, and then red and white. Gross. None of these. A white background with blue stars, just nothing but stars. Another one with red crisscross blue, like a stitch quilt. We got a great flag. I really hope it doesn't come a time where that great American flag right there is the flag of the great national divorce. Are we going to have a divorce? Is that what's going to happen in this country right now? I mean, you already got California. They've already I don't say we anymore. I don't feel like it's us. We're in the red part of the recall. They, the crazy part of California, they already have laws. Sacramento has laws that if you work for the state, you know, you can't travel to certain states. You know, they're going to control what commerce has done. That's how high and mighty Governor Face Mask Gagging Gruesome feels that he is right now. But this secession movement within states, we know this has been actually building for years. I'm going to go back and give you the survey from University of Virginia Center for Politics. I told you last week, said more than half of Trump voters at least somewhat agree that red states should break away from the blue. 41% of Joe Biden voters thinks blue states should do the same. They're not saying break away, you know, going away, firing at each other. They're just saying secede, make a decision to part ways. I don't know. Maybe this, it feels like the country, well, it doesn't, okay, let me take that back. The country is breaking down right before our eyes. It's part of breaking down, part of rebuilding it again. But what happens if we continue on this same path? And when you say rebuilding again, right? Build back better. Isn't that what Joe said he's going to do? Going to build back better. Well, the way that they want to build, it's on the back of taxpaying Americans. They know this. And they're talking about redoing the flag. Don't understand. But I'll tell you, you can't build back better, Joe.
Well, it's interesting because I keep reading about the build back better bill. They want to, we don't have enough workers, even if we passed it tomorrow. And because of all these supply chain problems, we don't have building supplies.
Where are all the workers? We got all these experts keep predicting big employment gains each month, really. Where are they? As inflation keeps going up, shipping containers used to cost $2,000. Now they're costing $20,000. You want to talk about fly away inflation? The jobs report was supposed to show a gain of 500,000 last month. Actually, just 194,000. And when you hear that unemployment is at 4.8, see what they always, and I don't care which administration was in, we would talk about the truth. The full measure of unemployment is 8.5 because 5 million people are now permanently out of the workforce. That's bad news. That means they're not even looking for work. So they leave them out of the report. Oh, isn't that a coinkydoo? So unemployment is truly at 8.5%. They were hoping for 500,000 jobs, got 194,000. Where'd everybody go, right? Where are the workers? You see help wanted signs out all over, don't you? Our economy, after what was it, 18 months of the 15 days to slow the spread, still has 5 million fewer workers than in February of 2020. Nearly 3 million people have been out of work for at least 6 months. These unemployment benefits finally have ended everywhere pretty much last month. And now employers are raising the hourly wages. They're offering all kinds of other benefits to attract workers, but we have nearly 11 million job openings. What gives here? I know there's some missing workers because of all the shenanigans that school districts keep playing. One child gets a case of COVID. Suddenly everybody is sent home and you got to get this test. And you don't get that test. You got to get the right test and you got to wait 3 days. Then you can come back to the classroom. So who's watching the kids? Well, there's a lot of missing workers that are parents staying home with kids who can't go to school. They know that. The vaccines are killing jobs. We know that. Well, at least mandating the vaccine is killing jobs. You got businesses desperate for workers. Company after company, hospitals after hospital, they're firing workers right now. According to the Washington Post, they said, well, you can blame it on what? That's right, kids, systemic racism. Parents, you better not open your mouth. I'll send the FBI over. Yes, it's all about systemic racism. We're holding back employment for workers of color. That was actually what the Washington Post was talking about yesterday. We know what's going on. We've been telling you it's going to happen. These disruption in the supply chain, it's lack of workers. It makes things more expensive. Knock, knock, inflation. You know your grocery shopping's more expensive. Gas prices hitting a 7-year high. And hey, man, you voted for Jimmy Carter. You got it. You got inflation. We got energy problems. We got foreign policy problems. We got America in decline. People don't like disco anymore. I tell you, it's all happening. It's coming together. And when you had the jobs report that was out, you had a lot of reporters that wanted to talk to Joe Biden about it. And he delivered a statement. You know how he's setting up all these fake White House sets? Have you seen these fake White House sets that he puts up? So he was behind a fake White House set about these just released September jobs report that was dismal. So he walks away. He refuses to take a single question. And he was out giving a tour of some kids of Marine One, and he was out there with a yo-yo. So when he should have been talking to reporters about the dismal jobs report and talking not to reporters, through reporters, to Americans. No, he was playing out with the kids. Didn't have enough time to take a question out there playing with a yo-yo. There was a video of him. Of course, the reporters have anything to do, and they're thinking he should be answering some questions. What's he doing? I don't know. There he is. Focus the camera in. He's out there with a yo-yo. I wouldn't let any kids go near him. Remember when he was and this was just last year. There was this, I don't know, it was like a hula dance or something, some young girls at some public event. Joe Biden was there, and he said that he planned to come back and see them dancing when they're 4 years older. He actually said that. Mr. Build Back Broke, right? The Biden administration's gone to war against parents, and 60 GOP members of Congress are demanding answers over this. Did any of our Valley Republican representatives in Congress sign the letter? One did, and I'll tell you that name next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
This story out of Texas, this can't be true, but it is true. The alleged school shooter down there was released on bail one day after custody. He opened fire at his high school, injured four people, including a teacher. And he was sprung from jail on Thursday afternoon as an attorney who joined him insisted that the case was not a standard issued school shooting. This 18-year-old was in high school in Arlington, Texas. He gets out on a $75,000 bond, home confinement. What? You tell me that this guy is literally the suspect of opening fire inside of a school building, hitting four people, including a teacher, and they let him walk out the door. The civil rights attorney who spoke on behalf of the families called this not a standard issue school shooting. In this situation, that was not somehow he's just going to go out and shoot a school, and he'd made up his mind and said, you know, hey, I'm upset. I'm just going to go shoot anyone I see. The attorney said that was not the situation here. So I request the media correct their narrative with regard to what happened and that you all respect the family's privacy. Oh, okay, it's not a standard-issued school shooting. All right, yeah, let him go home. That's fine. You just wish it wasn't true. But it is. And a judge would allow that, right? What was he afraid that he would get the woke cultural Marxists outside around his house? Yeah, guess that probably could have happened. We got Press Secretary Psaki. She had a little trouble explaining why Joe Biden's approval ratings continue to go down. But, you know, you just blame unvaccinated people. That's the scapegoat these days, right? Whoopi Goldberg she actually left the word white out. See, she had the Broadway cast of The Lion King and Aladdin and all these, you know, Broadway dressed up characters on The View, right? And Broadway's been called the Great White Way. Why was it called the Great White Way? Because it used to be dark at night and you'd have candles. And when electricity came in, they said it lit it all up and it became the Great White Way. You could go down this way, it was white. It was all lit up. But she wouldn't say the word white. And the word white in this has no racial connotation whatsoever. The lighting of Broadway, that's a nickname. The Great White Way. Because, see, prior to electricity, you didn't have women going out in the city at night unescorted. That was not considered proper or safe. You couldn't see anything, right? Well, you could walk around with a candle. Jack the Ripper could jump out of the alleyway. But when electricity came to Broadway, it was called the Great White Way. But anyhow, here's Whoopi now describing it. Listen to her on The View. Change the word here.
First of all, we want to thank the Broadway cast of Lion King and Aladdin and the North American tour of Frozen for this wonderful surprise and for being the Great Bright Way.
Ah, the Great Bright Way. She changed the word. Now, that you're going, well, that, what's the big deal? Why are you making a big deal about that? Because she won't say white. Because it has no racial connotation at all. And you want to talk about unity and you have this kind of nonsense going on? That's just nonsense. It's nonsense that also you can't stand up to a school board without the Biden administration seeking his Department of Justice like the tyrant that he is. Imagine if Trump had sent the Department of Justice out to shut down parents that were going after, let's say they had implemented, right? Not that Republicans can ever pull off what Democrats do, but they had implemented something in the schools, let's just say. And you would have thought Democrats would stand up. Here's what we have right now. 60 Republican members of Congress sent a letter, whatever. I would hope that all of them would have been out on the steps of Congress protesting loud, daring the FBI, saying, no, you won't go after those parents. You'll have to come through us first. That kind of courage. Not signing a letter. I'm glad they did, but that's weak. Sending a letter to the Department of Justice demanding answers. I guess it's easier to send a letter, and then you can go do whatever you want. If you had to go protest, you would have to maybe book a flight if you weren't in town and actually, you know, put your mouth right out there on the street. But no, they're not going to do that. But they're demanding answers to why the department's targeting parents who oppose critical race theory. As they see, a letter from Congress emphasized how silencing parents who oppose ideology weaved into their child's curriculum violate their constitutional rights. They go on to talk about the reasoning why we all know this is what they should be shouting out on the steps of Congress. So they sent this letter to the Department of Justice to demand answers. They said it's unheard of and unacceptable, and it is, and I am glad that they're standing up. Writing a letter? Eh. They said they should, why is it only 60 of them though, right? Why isn't every last one of them? I mean, this is the least that they should be doing. Here in the Valley, the one to sign it was Congressman David Valadao. He was one of the 60 to sign that letter right there. Well, here we go. We're going to be finding out what our future is going to be like when it comes to our economy, when it comes to businesses, when it comes to these mandates, Southwest Airlines, just a little tip of the iceberg. Hey, all you mandate companies, you want to go down this path with Southwest Airlines? Good example. He's an aviation analyst, Mr. Jay Ratliff. We're going to talk with him next here.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Can't seem to figure this out, how weather affects one airline and not other airlines. That's why he's an aviation analyst, Mr. Jay Ratliff. Jay, welcome back, sir. How are you?
There you go again, introducing common sense to a discussion. Just spoiled my intro. Good man.
Well, I was just seeing here that are they still kind of sticking by what Southwest Airlines? Well, Jay, in case people don't know what's going on, catch them up what happened over the weekend with this one of America's big airliners.
Well, we had Southwest start canceling some flights. The numbers started building up. People started posting pictures and comments on social media. The next thing you know, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of flights affected, mainly towards the south. And what ended up taking place was we get a hold of Southwest and said, okay, what's the issue? This is not normal to see the numbers that we saw. And they initially came out and said that we had bad weather. And yes, there was air traffic control issues at Jacksonville. There was a COVID protocol they had to follow briefly. And that was the reason. And okay, we can certainly understand that until we get to the point you so aptly referenced in the fact that other airlines on the same day flying the same routes at the same time in the same city pair didn't have nearly the issue that Southwest had. So you have to go back to Southwest and say, okay, now what's the reason? Because obviously what you told us isn't the case. And they said, well, we had some staffing issues and other. It was just one convenient little excuse after another. It got so bad yesterday. Southwest canceled or delayed more than 62% of their flights. And when you're looking at some of the delays and cancellations that took place and the fact that you have people that are stranded everywhere, it really harkens back to just a couple of months ago. It's amazing how Southwest has dropped the ball as they did in summer so bad because of staffing. And now they're having apparently the exact same issue. Now, one of the little caveats here is that Southwest recently announced that all of their employees are going to be required to be vaccinated by, I think it's the 8th of December, somewhere right in there, in order to keep their jobs. The pilot said, hold on just a moment. We did not negotiate. It's not part of our collective bargaining agreement. We've had no input whatsoever to this. We're not comfortable with this provision. So they've kind of been going back and forth, and as you've seen, most of these discussions are one-sided on the company side, and a lot of people that I'm talking to, and I've talked to a great number of commercial pilots, Southwest, JetBlue, and others, this was a little message, some are telling me, to Southwest saying, hey, things were slowed down today as kind of a, you know, foretaste, if you will, of what will happen if we're short of pilots or because of testing, we have to delay people getting to their scheduled flights and everything else. And that's not what you want to see during the upcoming holiday.
Oh, could you imagine? Jay, is this a unorganized sick out? Because a union, they can't organize that. That'd make it a legal job.
They can't. But what's unusual here is a lot of times if the union is trying to make a statement, they make it public. In this case, that's not the case. What we have right now is that nobody is really taking responsibility other than Southwest, who's really apologizing as much to their employees as they are their customers. And it was back in, I think, early May, maybe late April, early May, Southwest made an announcement that caught me off guard. They said the summer bookings are looking good. We're bringing back all of our airplanes that we had on the sidelines back into what we hope is going to be a very busy summer travel season. Well, here's the problem. They furloughed a lot of pilots. And to get a pilot from the couch back to the cockpit, there's a period of simulator training that's required. It's an FAA requirement. It's just a refresher, something that's needed. It's a good idea. The problem is Southwest has only so many of these training facilities, and you can only put so many pilots a month through these facilities. And that's when the pilot said, wait a minute, time out here. You're talking about taking all the pilots that are on furlough and having them back ready to fly by June 1st? That's not going to work. We have so many pilots and so few simulator hours that it's going to be weeks before everybody's back in the cockpit. Sure enough, it was the second week of July before Southwest got caught up. Now, tell me how an airline that is voted, rightfully so, the second best low-cost carrier on the planet by Skytrax here just a couple of weeks ago.
Who's number one? Do you remember who number one?
It was an Asian character. Okay. Air Asia, something along those lines, as I recall. I was shocked because there was finally a U.S. carrier on the list of the top 10 best airlines because we didn't make it on any of the other lists. And the thought is, how can you have simple math where they can't calculate that they weren't going to have the pilots available and then correct that decision, and they did not. They just simply tried to ram it through, and the passengers paid the price the same way this weekend. Again, we had passengers paying the price. It was much better today, but of course, a lot of people that are reaching out to me say, I want to make reservations for the upcoming holidays or early next year. I'm afraid to, because I don't want to go on vacation where I spend the whole week or whatever it is worrying about my return Southwest flight if this sort of thing pops up again. And that's certainly a very accurate statement to look at, and I understand the concerns.
Jay, you said it's better today, or is it they still having disruptions today, though, correct?
Yesterday was the 62% delayed or canceled. Today it was a few hundred versus the 3,000-plus that were affected.
So was this a shot across the bow from employee demonstration? This was, right? This had to be, right?
In my opinion, sure. Absolutely. In my opinion, it is. Now, some of my friends at Southwest in management are going to have choice words for me saying that because they're not going to agree, at least publicly. But they have something in front of them they're going to have to address, and this is going to be fascinating because on one side, you have a lot of these men and women, former military, that are apparently going to take some sort of a stance against the vaccine. You have a president who's made it clear that anybody that didn't get the vaccine isn't as smart as he thought they were, and he's combative. So you have these two forces pointed at each other. I don't see either one of them really giving. So what's going to happen over the next 30 to 60 days? Because what's going to be really interesting here is that I think we're just a couple of weeks or a few weeks away from the president coming out and saying, in order to keep everybody safe, we're going to have the vaccine mandate for anyone that is going to fly domestically, meaning if you want to fly in throughout the country, you're going to have to prove you had the vaccine or a negative COVID test within 72 hours of flying. That's already being done internationally.
Let's talk about, I want to stop you for a minute, Jay, because sure. I played the audio last hour of Fauci being asked that question, and he says everything's on the table. Let's listen here.
Discussing
do you support it?
But right now, I don't see that immediately. You know, Dana, I don't want to say support or not. I think it's a decision that's made by input from a number of parts of the government, including public health. I mean, obviously, from a public health standpoint, the more protection you get, the better it is. But I don't want to be weighing in because we wind up then having people taking things out of context. We have everything on the table, and it will be discussed by the medical group.
Everything on the table. Everything on the table. Sure, it will be coming, for sure.
In my opinion, it is. And he gave an interview to the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago when he was asked that same question. He said, yes, I would support a mask mandate. And then he said, but we've not decided yet. And I'm thinking, if we as a part of it, you know, I remember Fauci a year ago in February saying, don't worry about masks. They don't work. Don't worry about the coronavirus. It's not coming here. All of these things. And he has switched in so many different positions. It's really difficult for me to look at him other than somebody that is pulling a hamstring, rushing from microphone to microphone. And when he says, hey, if you think the Delta variant's bad, just wait until the next one. It's kind of like, please allow me to remain relevant in society, because, you know, everybody's used to everything hanging on his every word, and I'm getting tired of it. I'm sure a lot of people in the industry are as well. But look, everything is pointed towards the next step for commercial aviation as far as the mask requirement. And it was in February of this year that we had President Biden, his administration, say, look, we've implemented this international travel policy that's working very well. As far as people coming into the United States, we want to implement that domestically. And the airlines really pushed back, and they were against it. And they got their way, as the airline industry commonly does, and that policy was not implemented. Now what are we hearing? We're hearing the CEO of Spirit and of Delta and of United say, well, you know, if there is a mask mandate, we are prepared to take care of it. We will respond and make sure that it's carried out. There's no more pushback here. So the airlines have basically told the president, look, we have no issue here if you want to make the call. And I suspect it's going to be very soon that he's going to. The airlines are hoping some of this is going to bring back the corporate traveler, which is non-existent right now. And try to boost some of the numbers. We're at like 70-75% of what would normally be the travel numbers for this time of year. And they're hopeful that this last gasp will bring back the corporate people that represent 70-some percent of their monthly revenue historically, which right now is just a fraction of that because so few corporate travelers are flying.
Well, that's a good excuse for them, but I really look at this as they're setting up federal standards for private businesses, and that should alarm everybody. I mean, non-compliance means you don't work, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your paycheck. And Jay, as we talked about, there's never been a federal mandate for any vaccination. It's up to states. These are state mandates, vaccines are. There's never been anything federal about this. And the fact that we have elected officials on both sides of the aisle, and I'll call out Republicans, for not standing up for this. I mean, this is a slam on people's livelihoods.
And they so easily and quickly got what they wanted in that.
So quick.
That was the scary part to me. It was obvious. But under this umbrella of, you know, for the betterment of society, we're going to boom, 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 make this kind of just. And a lot after the attacks of 9/11, there was some encroachment. We certainly felt that from a you know, standpoint of just privacy. But now this is so blatant; it's right there in your face, and you have people that are openly talking about it. They're not apologetic. They said this is what we're going to do, and there's very few people that seem to resist it, as they should. And this whole thing reminds me that, A, things change so quickly, as they did last year, you know, with the pandemic, that my biggest concern is, okay, what are they going to use the next crisis to do?
Oh, my word,
much,
I know.
How much more is going to... Because unless there's some serious pushback here, it scares me on what the next thing's going to be, because they're already planning, I'm sure, to take advantage of whatever the next national security issue, at least in their minds, happens to be. And we've had so many people follow along blindly, like, okay, whatever you want me to do type of thing, without really stopping to consider so many of the points that you've been making through this entire time about, hey, we need to stop and examine what it is that's taking place and how it's affecting us, which unfortunately very few people seem to be willing to do.
Jay, if they can force us to have a medical procedure and then carry around proof of that in order to work, boy, they could force anything. You brought up 9/11, and I remember the Patriot Act in 2006, and I was so against that. And people were like, well, you're not a patriot. I'm like, no, you don't understand. They could turn this on Americans, man. And here we are, 2021, and we have the Department of Justice using a portion of the Patriot Act to go after parents with school boards. So, it's I am going to be the guy that says I told you so.
You know, all you have to do is call it a Jobs Act or a Patriot Act, or whatever it might happen to be, and since people only look at the headlines and the names of things,
sounds great.
It's like you're against a voter protection bill. No, we're against how it's coming about type of thing. So, you know, it is really at a point where the next few weeks, next couple of months with the airline industry is really going to be telling, because it's going to change the way the airlines operate. It's going to dictate whether or not they're going to be profitable or not. I see, and I can't even imagine these words are about to come out of my mouth, but we could see by the end of this year, early part of next year, another airline bailout. They've already received $54 billion, three different installments here, and I could see if things start to derail a bit, them come back and say, well, we need to protect the employee jobs, which was so laughable. There we go again, labeling it correctly so you can market it the right way. This administration, I think, would give them the money. It's I don't want to see it, but you know, I remember President Trump, after the first round of bailout, the president said, I think they probably are going to ask for more. They should get it.
Hey, I got an idea, Jay. I got an idea. How about cash for clunkers?
We would get something back.
We would.
70% of that money, they don't have to get back. So did we push for higher customer service levels or better communication or better anything that would be kind of reflected back on the consumer? No, not a thing. And you talk about being in the perfect position to dictate at least a little bit of a term. That didn't happen. So the airlines got everything they wanted. We got nothing in return. And when they started jacking up fares at the beginning of this year, I heard people in Washington, D.C. that were incredulous. My God, are they raising rates? After we gave them that money, I'm thinking, how stupid do you have to be? Of course that's what they're doing. They're doing what they've always wanted to do, and that is make as much money as they can. And they could really care less what you and I think, because they treat us like cattle, and we
Jay,
keep
thank
back.
You. Thank you, Jay Ratliff, aviation analyst, Southwest Airlines. They're doing it up, man. And Merck's got a new COVID pill. We'll talk about that next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Thousand flights blocked over the weekend. That has nothing to do at all with Southwest Airline pilots asking a court to block the new company vaccine mandates. Nah, nothing to see here. That's what Southwest Airlines trying to make you think, right? It's all fake news. Where are you there, Donald, right?
It's all fake news.
Yeah.
It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. It wasn't the weather. It was actually pilots, you know, former military guys, a lot of them. And this is what it's going to take. They can't control us all. Stand up. Way to go, Southwest Airline pilots. Their union said the cancellations were not part of a planned labor demonstration. Right. More than 25% were canceled, and they're still having problems today. Trying to say it was disruptive weather. Wasn't disrupted weather at all. But anyhow, I'm figuring it all out. We do know right now that these cancellations have continued into today. Now, Southwest, not United, they were the first ones to announce a requirement. Actually, Southwest was silent even after Biden announced the federal contractors and large employees. And you just heard Jay Ratliff. They're talking about how the airlines did stand up, but then went into silent mode, right? This new drug that Merck is talking about, this new pill, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Molnupiravir, M-O-L-N-U-P-I-R-A-V-I-R. We'll call it Merck's revolutionary new pill, as they're calling it. Now, there's a report out in Barron's about some scientists worried about this drug, about saying it could cause cancer or birth defects. I'll give you both sides of this. Dr. Scott Gottlieb talking about this. Merck and their partner Ridgeback Biotherapeutics will profit immensely from this. We're talking about this. They're going to charge customers up to 40 times what it costs to make this drug. I'm not against capitalism, but if they're going to turn away from other drugs that are much less cheaper. This is a paper published in the Journal of Infectious Disease. Scientists, University of North Carolina, I'll give you the people that I report. They talked about the animal cell cultures in a test used to detect mutations. They said there is risk in this pill. There's a concern that it will cause long-term mutation effects, even cancer. They said biochemistry will not lie. The drug will be incorporated into the DNA. Now, see, they haven't done any of the long-term side effects of any of these. And we know that. We know that. And parents, do not share any of your medical information with your child's or your child's medical information with a teacher at all. There's good ones and there's some sneaky ones, and they have a process they're using. I'm going to tell you about it next.